Once upon a time, there was a little boy called Howard who loved writing stories.
Little Howard dreamed of being a writer, and so he sat and wrote every night. But everything he wrote was fucking shite, yeah. Wubba-dubba-do, wubba-dubba-do. Worst writer in the world, worst writer in the world, worst writer in the world. Suck-ass rubbish writer.
Welcome to the worst writer in the world.
Hooray!
You sound very, very excited, Howard. And it is part three of our Supergirl extravaganza.
Yes, that's two more than the movie Supergirl ever got.
And what's happened so far is Supergirl lost the power source for her city, and everyone she knows is dying slowly. But don't worry, because she's gone to Earth to find it. Yes. Tragically, it's been stolen by an evil woman called Selina.
What are the chances?
Yeah. For some reason, Supergirl has joined a school and got in disguise as a schoolgirl. We're not sure why she did that, but she did. And she's spending a bit of time looking for it. Oh, and let's not forget, fucking Jimmy Olsen's in this movie for some reason. So there's still, this is the third episode of four, so you've still got to wait two more weeks for the last episode. And of course, there are six, but we're only releasing four now.
Thank you.
Unless it will make sense one day. Unless you join the secret gang for just $2, in which case you can get all of them right now.
Yes, go
and
do that now.
So much more.
Yeah.
So much more. Oh, we've got Gret Binchleaf chapters, secret gang podcasts, and some of them are even available for just $2. There's a load of loads of stuff. There's like videos and live streams, and just there's so much. I can't even begin to tell you because I absolutely cannot remember it because there's too much for my tiny brain to contain. All right.
Yes.
So go to patreon.com/manbycow and just have a look. That doesn't cost you anything, does it?
No.
And then pay $2 because it's not like you're going to notice.
Because that doesn't cost you anything, does it?
Be honest. If you sat down in the sofa and $2 fell out of your trousers, you wouldn't notice, especially if you're English. I mean, you know, what are you doing with $2 in your trousers anyway, you weirdo? You can't spend that. Give it to us instead.
Hooray.
All right, let's get on with the episode, shall we, Howard?
Yes, please.
Part three, The Hot Gardener. Cut two, Selina is making a love spell to make that gardener fall in love with her. Because the main thing that women want from magic is to take away consent. So, as she makes the potion, Selina says, "He who drinks the water shall be in love with approximately the 18th person he sees." After he wanders around town looking at people's loads for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Next up, the hunky gardener, Ethan, turns up at the fairground and Selina comes onto him and then gives him the love potion.
Why does he go to the fairground? To like
she's called him
the fairground?
To...
Okay.
She's called him to sort out her house plans. That's what she's talking about, because he does seem to be a gardener rather than a handyman, which would have been fine. But she's like, "Oh, I'm thinking of getting some nice house plants in here. Can you, a gardener, tell me how to do that? Because I don't know how to go to a shop." Anyway, so she gives him the love potion and he reacts by insulting her house, then passing out on the sofa. Right? Like, seriously, what this seems to show, he takes the love potion and he kind of loses, he starts acting drunk, and he's... Basically, he's kind of a surly dumbass, right? That's his character. Like, all we've seen him do is kind of take a shot off and look hot and be rude and stupid. He comes across quite stupid. But the next time he speaks, his personality will have experienced a drastic change. So look out for that.
That's a love potion.
Then Bianca walks in, but only after he passes out, because no one can see Bianca and Selina together because they are the same person. Then the doorbell goes, the doorbell on the ghost train.
Yeah, the ghost bell door train.
The ghost bell door train.
Anyway,
but just put the word ghost, door, bell and train together in any order. It doesn't matter. It's all fine. We understand. Yeah. So the doorbell goes and Selina says, "If that's the goddamn Jehovah's Witnesses again,
Yeah, because they always come knocking at ghost trains.
They're just famous for it, aren't they? Going into closed amusement parks and knocking on the door of the ghost train. Hello, is there any ghosts in there who want to learn about God?
Yeah. Well, failing that, are there any trains in there? Any trains that want to know about Jesus?
The Bianca personality answers the door, and it's Nigel. Uh-huh. Nigel knows about her multiple personalities, so he says he wants to see Selena. He's basically, let's the Selena personality take control for a moment, would you, so I can speak to her. Eventually, Selena agrees to come out, and the moment she's there, like she comes to the door behind Bianca, but the moment she's there, Bianca stops speaking. Mm. Like she doesn't say another word. The actress is still there, but when Selena starts speaking, Bianca completely stops, because this is a visual representation of multiple personalities.
Yeah.
Right? Now Nigel's talking to Selena, he can't talk to Bianca. That's how it works. Nigel says he has a proposal, and while they talk, Ethan wakes up, confused and delirious and kind of stupid. He walks through the ghost train, which is all switched on and functioning for some reason. No wonder they can't pay their electricity bill if they have a fucking ghost, if they have the whole fair on all the time, like in the middle of the night when they're busy doing love potions. Switch it off.
Yeah, and all those people they're employing, because we all know that actual ghost trains usually have somebody dressed in a sheet that jumps out, don't they?
Yeah, they're not automatic. It's someone like dangling that skeleton at you. Meanwhile, Selena puts a skin hex on Nigel and kicks him out. Then they go back in and find that Ethan is gone. Oh no, he's escaped. She uses her mirror to see him, and in the 4 seconds since he left, he's made it all the way to the town centre. And, of course, he's going to fall in love with approximately the 18th person he sees. And now that might not be Selena. You know, she was planning to show him 17 pictures and then get him to look at her just to be absolutely sure. No, but as you said, let's be fair to the movie. Perhaps for the spell to work, Ethan has to really properly see someone, right? Like you said, he's kind of bleary-eyed. He's not focusing. He needs to focus his eyes on a humanoid person of the gender he is attracted to. Otherwise, it won't work.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's check the trusty novelization for more detail. Selena was in a rage. Damn that Nigel. If not for him, she'd still have Ethan. And now, whoever Ethan saw first, he'd love with all his heart. It could be a dog. It could be a chicken. It could be a spider, and he'd still love it. Love it so much, he wouldn't give her, the ravishing Selena, a second glance.
There's a weird town centre they live in then, right? Where you're more likely to see a chicken than a human being. I mean, a dog,
second chicken, third spider, human, no chance. Yeah. In that case, if he can fall in love with basically anything, why doesn't he fall in love with a car? He sees loads of them. Or why doesn't he fall in love with the digger that attacks him? That'd be good, right? That'd be good, because then that's kind of Selena's fault. She tries to get like magic to bring him back, but then the magic, she doesn't tell the magic to use a digger. She's just like, power of shadow, bring him to me. And then it uses a digger and he falls in love with the digger. And then she gets him back and he's all like, where's my beautiful digger? Starts quoting poetry about a digger. That'd be amazing. Don't bother with getting Supergirl involved. That's a stupid plot anyway. Yeah. I love the digger. Please take me to the digger. Amazing. Anyway, Selena gets the Powerball out and finds that the container it's in is growing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it keeps growing, so that'll probably mean something later. Meanwhile, Supergirl grows her Linda Lee clothes and goes to meet Lucy and Jimmy, Waste of Time Olsen, at Popeyes. They see Ethan staggering down the middle of the road, and Lucy says, look at that dingleberry. And Supergirl says, what is this dingleberry? She totally does. Supergirl says, like, maybe they should help Ethan, right? Like, you know, yeah, that might be good if Supergirl helps someone. But Jimmy, why am I in this fucking movie, Olsen, says no, fuck him, he's probably on drugs, so he doesn't deserve help. Let him get run over. Let's eat.
Yeah.
So they do. It's like Jimmy says, fuck that guy, he's probably on drugs. And they leave him.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, so Jimmy Olsen, right? Clearly an absolute, completely pointless lemon, right? But there must be there must be something good about it. I mean, like, Lucy Lane really fancies him, so she's probably got something good to say about him, right?
Yeah.
Like, for example, if I look to the novelization and see the bit where Jimmy Olsen is described from Lucy Lane's point of view, there's bound to be something good to say about him there, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, let's check it out. There was something about Jimmy Olsen, cub reporter, that brought out both the tender and the tiger in Lucy. Mm. Something about the way his shirt was nearly always spotted with food. Mm. How sometimes there was even a nip of hamburger or a dollop of ketchup in his hair.
What?
And how he would gaze at her with those baby browns, those little shy, squinchy brown eyes that looked out at the world with the greedy innocence of a child convinced it is the centre of heaven and earth. And I haven't cut anything. That is exactly from, that is word for word from the book. I haven't added or removed anything. That is what Lucy thinks about Jimmy Olsen. She likes him because he's got food in his hair and is self-centered. Mm. That's the best she's got to say about him.
Interesting. Basically, he's got an eating disorder, right?
Yeah, that he thinks you put it in your hair. That's a pretty bad disorder. Yeah, he's like, is this my mouth? Is this my mouth? No, no, that's your hair. Yeah,
he's so vulnerable with his eating disorder. Look at him.
He's so self-centered. Look at him like a toddler.
Look at him with that putting brioche bun on his head.
Oh, he's covered in ketchup again. Oh, Jimmy, you're so attractive.
With your squinchy eyes.
Squinchy
eyes.
Look at his
squinchy eyes.
Meanwhile, Selena enchants a digger to capture Ethan and return him to her. So there's a long, exciting sequence where the digger chases him around, gnashing its bucket. Yeah. And it destroys a lot of the town and some cars while Supergirl eats French fries.
Yeah.
Eventually, it gets him. It gets him in its bucket. And Supergirl finally notices when someone shouts, "Look, a leg!" And Laronnier says, "Did somebody say leg?" Lucy says, "Somebody's got to do something," and runs off to take charge. Oh. That's Lucy Lane, not Linda Lee, by the way, because Supergirl just kind of sits there staring while Lucy Lane climbs into the moving vehicle and tries to control it.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, someone please murder me, Olsen, starts taking pictures. Thanks for the help, bow tie. Lucy Lane gets knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
She gets knocked out. So this, and I'd like to say, this is serious head injury number one. There's more to come, okay? And then we cut back to Supergirl, who's just still sitting there just watching. She's still not doing anything. Like, so much has happened. Cars are crashing. Buildings have been destroyed. Her friend is unconscious. Yeah. There's a leg sticking out of the excavator's bucket. And Jimmy Olsen is still alive and unharmed. But she's not solving any of these problems.
Yes, because...
just sitting there watching
them. Richard Pryor recently presented her with a bit of rock.
And now she's just like, accepted.
She'll be like, "Oh, I've got plenty of time. I'll be there
got
later."
Those, yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. But no, at this point, finally, she decides she will do something. So she uses her super speed, which, you know, I guess she could have used ages ago to stop all this from happening, to go to the bathroom and get changed. And once she's in costume, she focuses her attention on putting out fires. Yeah, save that property, Supergirl. Then she chases the digger, which contains her friend and a man she's never met, and immediately saves the man she's never met and just leaves her friend to crash into a fucking building. Her unconscious friend in a digger which crashes into a building. Thanks, Supergirl. So, Supergirl rips the bucket off of the digger, the bucket containing Ethan, and takes it to a nice, quiet bit of mud and puts it down. And then, before opening it, she changes back to Linda Lee.
Right.
Right? Why? Because, like, if she changes back to Linda Lee and then uses her super strength to open the bucket, dressed as Linda Lee with her black hair. So isn't Ethan just going to go, "Oh, this schoolgirl just saved me and seems to have ripped..." Like, no one knows who Supergirl is. He's just going to be like, "Oh, you must have superpowers," because otherwise, like, someone just flew and ripped this off. Like, so that's you, right? Mm. So, like, why did she change back to a pointless secret identity halfway through the rescue?
Because they want him to fall in love with that character?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's no question of character motivation. Well, I mean, it's just like, yeah, that's what
well,
they want.
Well, what does that mean about this love potion, then? It means that the love potion actually makes you fall in love with an image rather than an actual person.
Absolutely. That this magic potion is not powerful enough to recognise the person you fell in love with if they put a wig on.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it means.
It does, doesn't
it? It's a weak, yeah, it's very superficial, because it really, she doesn't look that different. She's just got a wig on. Like, it seems like if they change clothes, if someone dresses up to go out, like, does their hair slightly differently, puts a different outfit on, you're like, oh, I don't love you anymore. All right, so the love spell takes effect. Ethan's first words to Linda are, I love you. And then he turns into a poet.
Yeah.
This man, who was earlier demonstrated to be a chucklehead, now has a rich, pretentious vocabulary and a pseudo-poetic turn of phrase. And he says, what he says is, a bird of free and careless wing was I, through many a smiling spring, the cold repulse, the look askance, the lightning of love's angry glance, stay, let me behold you. Because unfortunately, he's also started speaking like Maigrick.
Yeah.
What is this bird of free and careless wing you speak of? So, like, when he talks to Linda, this is going to be really confusing. Then when he talks to Linda, what is this bra-ly? Right. So Ethan spouts a load of poetry at Linda. Then he grabs her and kisses her without consent.
Mm.
And from this point on, the script, direction, and especially the music frame Ethan's actions as romantic, which they're not from any angle. Like, from his point of view, he's had his consent removed and is acting under compulsion. She's being physically and emotionally assaulted by a stranger. There's nothing romantic about this movie. Stop playing that sweet music.
Yeah, but they're both hot, so we want them to be together.
Not like this. If they want to be later on, fine, but God, not like this. This is so, like, it's so bad. It's so much worse than anything else. Because usually there's only one person who's had their consent removed in a scene like this. And we're meant to go, oh, isn't that romantic that one person's forcing another? But both of these people are being forced.
Well, that's what makes it all right.
No, it doesn't.
Because no one here is doing anything wrong.
No, someone is, because it's Selena, all right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Selena is the bad person here for doing the spell. She has deliberately gone out of her way to remove someone's consent and force them to do things. But there is something to be said in the way that this movie chooses to make an older woman lusting after a younger man evil, but an older man lusting after a schoolgirl kind of sweet, right? That seems to be a deliberate juxtaposition here. Like, it's a choice. They've gone, okay, the old witch isn't supposed to be with a young hot man. Mm. But the young hot man doing exactly the same thing to a schoolgirl, that's fine. Yeah, okay, nailed. All right, type it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Lucy Lane wakes up in the excavator, rubs her head a bit, and is completely fine because head injuries don't exist in movies.
Good.
She sees Linda snogging that drunk they were trying to rescue. Fucking hell, Linda, thanks for abandoning me to concussion while you pull the victim. That'd be awful, right? After trying to save someone, you wake up still in the digger, like, wow, I got knocked out. That's like your head's hurting. Even if you don't have concussion, your head's hurting a lot. And you do have concussion. And then you look over and your friend's snogging the guy that you were trying to save. What would you feel?
I know. I guess if I woke up and you were snogging Superman, I'd like just be happy for you, to be honest, Rufus. I'd just be...
Yeah, but you're weird. You're not.
But then I'd be like, well, no, at first I'd be really, really happy for her. But then I'd be like, no way, your memories. But it would be too late.
All right, so Jimmy, utter waste of space, Olsen finally stops taking pictures and goes to see if Lucy is okay about 5 minutes after the excavator knocked her unconscious and crashed. So thanks, Jimmy. How lucky we all are that you're in this film for some reason. Go back to Superman 3 and have no impact on the plot there instead, you bow-tie-wearing buffoon. Selena has a chat with imaginary Bianca and they fail to work out that Linda is Supergirl, even though they just watched her change in the mirror. Selena calls the power of shadow to attack Linda Lee because she's more worried about the schoolgirl who accidentally became the object of her love spell than the flying superhero who might actually be able to stop her. Anyway, she creates an invisible monster and it is wicked cool. I love this invisible monster thing. It's fucking hilarious and wonderful and I love it. This seems cheap, right? When you say there's an invisible monster, it seems like that's a money-saving option.
That is what they used to call it in Doctor Who. They called it doing it on the cheap when they had an invisible monster. Yeah.
Really? I mean, yeah, fair enough. But it works, right? And it's kind of scarier than a rubbish monster. Mm-hmm. I think you've told me about this. Like, there's a horror theory, maybe something to do with Jaws, mm-hmm. that what you don't see is scarier.
Yeah, it is true. Yes, because when you see it, it's usually shit.
All right, so Supergirl goes back to her dorm with a wistful smile on her face because she was written to really enjoy that forced kiss from a drugged stranger. Every girl's romantic dream. Ooh, I hope today someone I've never met before but who is obviously off his tits on drugs tells me he loves me, then grabs me and kisses me. That's a fucking fairy tale come true. That is being assaulted by a drug addict. In fact, she liked it so much, she goes back to her room and snogs herself in the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Yeah.
It's because what is this?
What is this kissing you speak of? Is that right?
Yeah, she's never done kissing before.
But let's not forget, maybe Supergirl is actually a lot cleverer than she seems. Maybe this is all an act, because what she's doing is she's pretending to fancy Ethan so she can waste a bit more time to make absolutely sure that her family is dead.
Yes.
So she never has to go back to boring, stupid Argo City where trees look nothing like trees and don't have leaves on them. Anyway, before she can properly tongue herself in the mirror, she's interrupted by the arrival of a gigantic invisible monster.
Oh, no.
So she grows her Supergirl costume and goes out to face it. And at first she does really badly. Like, she keeps forgetting it's invisible and just flying into it. Like, over and over again. But then she has the genius idea of grabbing a lamppost, flying up into an electrical storm, and letting the lamppost get hit by lightning, which, as we all know, causes the lamppost to become supercharged with electricity, and the lightning just stays in the lamppost, making it glow. Mm. The lamppost gets hit a few more times, and then Supergirl uses it as a weapon.
Yeah.
You're probably thinking, so she probably stabs the monster with it. Or at least somehow touches it but no, she holds the lamppost horizontally in front of her and the lightning shoots out sideways like a gun, but a gun that shoots bullets out of its side.
Yes.
It's the oddest choice ever. So meanwhile, Selina is well miffed and decides to focus on the impossible mystery of who is Supergirl. Mm. So she takes the lid off of her Powerball container and Supergirl's watch starts detecting and leads her to the fairground. So Supergirl arrives at the fairground. Yeah. And when she gets there, Supergirl discovers that Ethan has been stalking her.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously she goes there and immediately changes back to Linda Lee for some reason. And he's got flowers and candy. He's brought flowers and candy. How fucking creepy.
Yeah, I wonder, how does he know she's going to be there? He's just waiting around a fairground in case Linda Lee turns up.
It is very weird because I'm pretty sure Supergirl flew there and then turned into Linda Lee and then Ethan's stalking her. Yeah, it's very odd. He's obviously got his own watch that glows when Linda Lee is nearby, but it's Linda Lee's clothes. Specifically, so it doesn't work on Supergirl.
Again, it's all down to this weird spell that we don't really know all the amazing things it's done. It's made him know poetry and be eloquent, and it's also made him know exactly where the woman is he wants to stalk.
Yeah, but only when she's got her wig on.
Yes. They should do a scene where she keeps taking it off, and he's like, Where's she gone? And with the kids, where's Supergirl gone? Where's Supergirl gone? There she is. Where's she gone? Yeah, just take it off.
Yeah, especially if she's getting it wrong and saying, where's Supergirl rather than where's Linda?
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously the reason he's there is, again, because plot wants him to be here.
Yeah, the plot. It's really important that somebody puts him in a Wurlitzer and makes it go fast.
Wurlitzer's not the right word.
Is it not?
Right? Isn't Wurlitzer like... I don't think so. Isn't that a fucking jukebox or something? I'm going to look it up because I don't know. Wurlitzer. I mean, it's waltzer.
Waltzers.
Waltzer?
Yeah.
Wurlitzer, jukeboxes and organs.
Okay, right, yeah. Yeah, waltzers was the word I was looking for. It's weird that I went for Wurlitzer.
It'd be better if she put it. Well, it does whirl them around.
Yeah, that's probably why I think it's called a Wurlitzer.
It's a Whirly Waltzer or Wurlitzer for short. It is. It is called a Wurlitzer. In fact, in the UK, it is.
Yes.
Right? Because it's a Whirly Waltzer or a Wurlitzer. Mm. Named famously by Steve Whirly. So Ethan stalks her to the fairground somehow. He gives her, he's got flowers and candy because, you know, that's a nice thing to do if you're a stalker. And Linda likes it. She loves being stalked. She's really happy that he stalked her and probably knows her secret identity. But she is a bit busy right now, so like, can you follow me into a dark, deserted fairground at a more convenient time, please? And then, in another one of the oddest moments in the movie, he tries to pick her up, like literally, not, you know, like he tries to lift her with his arms, like without asking, and for no fucking reason, he just tries to pick her up like she's a baby. Mm. Like, what are you going to do next, Ethan? Burp her? Like, change her nappy? Drop her off at daycare? But the weird part, I mean, it's weird that he tries to pick her up, first of all. That is weird. Like, where's he planning to take her? Is he kidnapping her? Is this like Will in Forget-Me-Not? Is he just picking her up to kidnap her? Is that his idea?
That's what people in love do, yeah. That's what we've learned from Forget-Me-Not. They pick people up and take them places.
And she had at least fallen over. Linda Lee is just standing there, and he's like, oh, I better pick you up and take you somewhere. Weird. But no, that's not the weirdest part. Because the weirdest part is he can't lift her because she's too heavy. Because that must be how she can fly, I guess, because she's so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So next up, Ethan asks Linda to go on the closed waltzers with him. And for some reason, she agrees. You know, she doesn't think, oh, maybe I should save all those people that are going to die. No, she's like, no, I'll tell you what, instead of saving all my loved ones who are definitely going to die any minute now, I think I'll have a nice sit down with this drugged up stalker. then they sit on the waltzer and they have the dumbest conversation I have ever heard. Like, it's actually so dumb that I couldn't even make any jokes about it. I couldn't transcribe it and read it because it makes no sense. It's just eight types of dumb piled on top of each other. So what I want people to do now is watch the movie, watch this conversation, and try to think of a single conversation that exists that is more stupid than this conversation, and let me know what it is. Fortunately, at this point, Selena and her imaginary friend turn up to put a stop to this fucking conversation. Selena turns on the waltzers using magic and makes them go fast. And when it stops, Ethan is alone. Then Supergirl lands behind them and Selena still doesn't work it out.
No.
Selena then teleports Ethan into the Dodgems rink and makes some Dodgems attack him. And while the Dodgems attack Ethan, Selena turns into a wall of Selenas and surrounds Supergirl. How will she escape? It's completely impossible. Supergirl is trapped forever by a 5'4" high wall all around her. And for quite a long time, Supergirl does look terrified and like she's got no idea how she's going to work it out. But eventually she does remember that she can fly, flies out of the circle of Selena's, and then traps Selena. She kind of does the same thing because she finds a big pile of handy spears just sitting on the ground next to her and throws them all really fast. They land in a circle around Selena and basically create a jail around her.
It's the tire sequence from Superman 3 again, isn't it?
It is. It's a cross between the tyre sequence and the pulling an S off his chest and that turning into a prison.
Yeah.
Anyway, then she goes to rescue Ethan after she traps Selena in spears and she goes to rescue Ethan. But she does this in quite an unusual way.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't just pick him up, which would seem logical. She picks up the whole Dodgem that he's sitting in, flies it up through the roof of the Dodgem's ring. Like, she flies it straight up and smashes through the roof and knocks Ethan unconscious as she does so, right? And it is so explicitly shown. Like, it's so clear that this was very deliberate. She smashes through the roof and knocks him out. And then she looks at him, unconscious, and does a little smile. Like, she smiles at his unconscious form. Like, Ethan may have been in danger before, but no one's actually injured him until this moment when Supergirl deliberately knocked him unconscious.
True.
So this is serious head injury caused by Supergirl number two. And it's not the last one. All right? It's so weird and it's so shocking. Like, why? Why did someone decide? Like, lots of people decided that that's what should happen. Why did they think he should be knocked out?
He needs to be unconscious, doesn't he, for some reason?
No, not at all. The only reason, in fact, the only reason he's unconscious is so that the next thing that makes no sense can happen.
Yeah, that's right? What I mean.
But if you don't knock him unconscious, you could have two things that don't make sense not happening. Because then what happens is, well, firstly, Selina like just goes, like she bends the spears to get out.
Oh, they go like, whee!
Yeah, it's a really good moment because she uses magic to get out of her spear prison. But let's not forget, she never worked out that Supergirl is Linda Lee.
No.
But at no point does she go, oh, I better go and find that schoolgirl I'm really annoyed with that I've been trying to murder. She just forgets about her, doesn't worry about it.
Yeah.
And Supergirl flies Ethan and the Dodgem 2,000 miles to a deserted lake. They are in the sky for so long. Like, they show so many backgrounds and they really make it clear that they're going a long way. Yeah. And that's why he seems to have been knocked out, so he won't be there going, put me down, put me down.
Yeah.
But she doesn't need to fly him 2,000 miles.
Well, it's actually, yeah, I imagine it's weird because, like, again, everything seems to be, like, mirroring scenes and things from actual Superman movies. And this is, like... Okay. When Superman flies with Lois Lane over the world, and it's a really lovely romantic moment. And this scene's supposed to be romantic as well. Only in this version, he's fucking unconscious, in a waltzer.
And in a dodgem. Yeah.
But it's supposed to be like, oh, what a beautiful scene, them flying together. Yeah. But, you know,
that's the expression on her face. It is a real kind of loving look that she gives. Like, oh, isn't this beautiful? Mm. But no, you're right. It's really important in that scene from Superman 1. Mm. It's really important that Lois Lane is conscious.
Yeah.
If she was unconscious, he was just kind of holding her by the hand and she was just dangling while he's flying around and that music's playing and he's talking to himself going, can I read my mind? Can I read my mind? Do I know what it is I do to me? That's not romantic anymore, is it?
No.
Because if he knocked her out, right, on purpose.
Yes.
Because he flew her out of the roof of her apartment instead of off the balcony.
Yeah.
And that knocked her out. Mm. That would be awful, but that is exactly what happens here.
Then flying around, waiting for her to wake up and realise she's in midair and pass out again.
Yeah, because he does. Like, just before she lands, he wakes up and he's like, fucking hell, we're flying, put me down, right? Because he's scared. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Probably that she's going to knock him out again, which she is.
But he doesn't know who Supergirl is, right, does he?
No, he's if she was flying around with her Linda Lee clothes on, he'd be like, oh yeah, this Brilliant. Is fine. Yeah, I know you could fly because you did it earlier. Anyway, no, she takes him to a deserted lake and Ethan wants to know where Linda is. That's his first question. Where's Linda? Because people and magic are stupid in this movie.
Mm.
And talking of stupid magic, at this point, a coconut flies out of the sky and beans Ethan unconscious.
Yeah.
I feel like someone with super speed could have stopped that. You know, like, especially someone with super speed who can fly.
Why does that happen again?
Because Selina's annoyed. Because Selina's annoyed.
She makes a coconut get him from miles away.
She creates a coconut coming out of the sky and makes it hit him on the head and knock him out. And Supergirl does nothing to stop it. So I'm going to say this is serious head injury caused by Supergirl number three. Mm-hmm. And this guy just, like, he only just woke up from the last time she knocked him out, like, moments ago.
Yeah.
And, like, he wasn't that clever to begin with. He didn't have that much going on at the start without knocking him out repeatedly. Little Howard dreamed of being a writer. Everything he wrote was fucking shite, yeah. Wubba-dubba-do, wubba-dubba-do. Worst writer in the world. Worst writer in the world. Worst writer in the world. Worst writer in the world.
Bam.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Worst Writer in the World. Right. You probably want to know what happens next.
Yes, please.
In the Supergirl story. Mm-hmm. Well, you can find out for just $2 by going to patreon.com/manbycow, where this entire story, all 6 episodes of the Supergirl story, are available right now.
Hooray!
Also, best thing about them, they don't have this bit on the end of us like chatting and trying to get you to join the gang. So if you're like listening and you're like doing something, your hands are busy so you can't flick forward, you know, like I like to listen to podcasts while I'm cycling. This bit really irritate me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no, I want it to roll over to the next episode, please. What are you going on about this rubbish for? Mm-hmm. But if you're on the gang, it just straight onto the next episode. Lovely.
Wah.
And of course, if you do sign up for $2, you also get a load of other stuff as well, including loads of old Man by Cow episodes, for example, loads of extended yeah. Worst Writer episodes.
Oh my gosh.
All kinds of videos, and it's just, I mean, it's ridiculous. Great binge leaf.
Yeah, you know? in both what senses of the word.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous how much you get. And also, everything we've ever made is ridiculous. So thanks for listening, and bye-bye, milk.
Bye-bye.
He's a stupid, suck-ass, rubbish writer. Yeah.